Welcome to season one of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Pilates teacher of over 22 years. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain and feel good, relaxations, positive affirmations, and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind for more relaxation, stretching, core, back strength and happiness. Hello, it's podcast day. Hooray! Got another beautiful guest for you today, Kate Kalin. And Kate is both a client and wonderful business friend, but also an amazing kinesiologist. So Kate Kalin is going to be on today. We're going to have a brilliant chat together for you. She's a kinesiology consultant from New Zealand and is currently based in Ireland. With 40 years experience, Kate has taken many people from overwhelm and pain to healing, empowerment and staying on track. Using her unique blend of kinesiology, Kate accesses universal wisdom through your own body and decodes it for you. She's now creating a retreat space in Italy for others to share their skills of healing, permaculture, arts, and music. And she is very excitingly, drum roll please for this bit, she's currently writing a book to help parents teach their teens life skills. How amazing is that? And it's just really nice that Kate's happy to come and share her mindfulness Pilates journey so far. So let's just delve straight into today's interview, which I really hope helps and inspires you. Okay, so big welcome. I've got a guest again. Every week I've got a guest. This is so good. So I've got Kate Kalin. I'm so pleased to have you on the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Thanks for coming.
Oh, you're most welcome, Bev. Thanks for asking me.
That's all right. So we are going to talk about your mindfulness Pilates journey. But before we delve into that, and obviously the listeners already heard that, you know, you're a kinesiologist and all sorts of these sorts of things. But I just want to say, before we start chatting, a big, big thank you to you, because if I had not have had a kinesiology online session with you, this podcast wouldn't have been born, because I wasn't planning on doing it at all, I'll be completely honest. And I had this amazing experience in the kinesiology session, and afterwards, like, I'm launching a Pilates podcast. It came absolutely what felt like out of nowhere. So I just want to express my deep gratitude to you on that one.
Thank you. I mean, it's always a pleasure to work with anyone when they get something good and they feel great afterwards, you know, because of course a lot of people come to you, as you know, Bev, and they're, you know, either confused or they're overwhelmed or just not feeling good about something. So it's always wonderful to hear positive feedback, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is, isn't it? And before we start talking about your mindfulness Pilates journey at your end, just so if anyone's thinking to themselves, I mean, I've been a big fan of kinesiology for many, many years. I'm a big fan of it. I think it'd be great if everybody had a kinesiologist themselves. And I'm just excited now that way before the pandemic, you had been doing it online anyway. But just as a brief, what on earth is kinesiology for somebody who is listening and doesn't know what on earth it is?
Okay, well, I like to explain it as biofeedback. So if you take it from the more scientific side, that's what it's kind of classed as, a type of biofeedback, where we get feedback from your body, okay? And I see it as a very physical thing. And I used to work with people all the time in my clinic with my hands on them, muscle testing them by lifting their limbs and what have you. But now that I do it online, I surrogate for people, which means that we get more into an energy transfer. But it's still all about hooking into my client's body responses, okay? And our body responses are so beautiful and elegant. They just simply say yes or no. And really my skill is in having a kind of a, as a kinesiologist, is having like these menus, if you like, that I very quickly go down in my head and keep testing, and to find the information, the answers, or the words, or the language, or I sort of decode it into language, if you like, for people. So it's very much a very physical practice, even though when we're doing it online, obviously we're starting to get into the energy transference between people, which to start with, I mean, I never ever saw myself going online with muscle testing. And I had a client who said, Kate, I have a brother and he's in another country and he has had kinesiology before and he really loves it. He's in a bad way and he really needs help. Would you do a session with him online? And I went, hell no. I said, you know, how on earth do you think I'd be able to do that? I've never done it before. And she said, well, you know, when I come to your clinic, quite often you say, hang on a minute, and you trot outside and you come back with a certain herb, or you go into your room, you get a book, and it's something that you've muscle tested me for. And then you go out and you say, I just test out there which one you need. So I said, she said, you've already been doing it over distance. And I thought, actually, she's right. I have. And I trusted it implicitly. So it was just making that step of trusting that it could go over further distance when I'm in the presence of somebody, you know? So I did the session with her brother. He got a huge amount out of it, which was hilarious because we couldn't even get the video connection going. In the end, I just had to do it by phone and I didn't even have any visual cues. So, but he got a wonderful response from it and I got huge feedback from it. So from then I went, I can do this online. It's possible.
Yeah, it's working really well, isn't it? That's great. Yeah, thank you for the summary. It's helped with so many different things, which is amazing. So on the your mindfulness Pilates journey, how did you get into it?
Well, I heard your podcast.
So funny, isn't it?
And I was really delighted to hear you went down that road because, as you said, that's where you really felt the joy when we were doing your testing for you, you know, that's where you felt joyful at this idea of just talking to people and experiencing people, you know. So that was wonderful. And so I listened in and I can't remember now which person was talking, but
it was Julie New, my sister.
Yeah. And she just gave me this, I got this real sense of what your classes were like, you know, and that they were very personal, which is something. Now I've never been the sporty one. You know what I mean? I've always been the girl who was reading books and hated sport. In fact, I used to literally hide up in the school. I used to get up in the ceiling and hide on sports days. And that's how sporty I am, right? And as a young person. And I've always found it really hard to join any kind of physical exercise thing and stick with it. Usually I fall off after about the second one. So I've realized as I got older that I need that kind of personal interaction. I need to actually have somebody there who kind of, I feel like, cares about me. It's very important for me. Otherwise, I just don't seem to get into it or get anything out of it. So that really attracted me. And the fact that, you know, you really keep an eye on, because I do have quite serious injuries from a car accident when I was very young. So I have a bad whiplash, and that is usually pretty good, but there are certain things that trigger it. And I, you know, I have tried yoga and things before, and I just find that often I ended up in a bad place with really bad whiplash triggering all down my back and giving me a lot of problems. So I've always been very protective, you know, of being careful about what I get into for exercise.
Yeah. So how is it? So thanks for sharing that. It's so funny as to how I had kinesiology with you. I know I was inspired to create the podcast. Next minute you're listening to it like, how can I book in? It was so funny. So so obviously you're having your, because you're currently in Ireland is where you live, and obviously I'm here in Dorset by the Sea, but all of my mindfulness Pilates membership and teaching is online on Zoom now. How do you find it on Zoom?
Well, you know, Bev, I think it's like everything. There's a slight adjustment, isn't there? but I actually feel more, what's the word? I feel it's like you're more able to keep a close eye on me online. Do you know?
Interesting.
And so I feel a bit more kind of, yeah, protected, and that if I was going too far, you would pull me up and that kind of thing, you know? So I feel more confident doing the exercises. And I also know, because I did used to do Tai Chi, that, you know, just little things like having your foot pointing, you know, it can be like 10 degrees in the different direction, and you use all different muscles. And I know that from my kinesiology and my anatomy and physiology as well. These subtle moves can make all the difference. So you really need an expert watching you, you know, and saying, oh, like you did the other day, Kate, you've got your foot turned out a little bit, you know. And that makes, I think, all the difference, because I wasn't getting any benefit from that exercise until you pulled me up on that. And then all of a sudden, oh, there they are, all those muscles are working right up, you know.
Yeah, our body knows how to cheat sometimes. And it's not that we're not trying to cheat, but we'll go, our body will, like, how, sometimes it will just subconsciously go, how can I make this easier? Or, you know, and it will go out of alignment in a certain way. Or, and as you say, I just tweaked your position and to get your muscles working in a better and stronger way, to give you more strength, really.
Yeah, to build up that strength, because that's one of the main reasons I wanted to do the Pilates, was because I wanted to build up core strength. I wanted to build up back and neck strength. And as we all know, sitting and being at computers is not great, you know, for our posture and for our core strength and all of that. So, like a lot of people, I was putting a few pounds on around the middle, you know, and thought, I just need to make sure I take care of my body properly.
Yeah, how are you finding the core strengthening exercises and strengthening exercises for your back and everything?
Really, really good, because you started off at the real, you know, slow and quietly. And I think that's so important, because once again, you know, I've been to other classes and people have walked away with injuries after the first, you know, couple of, this wasn't in Pilates now, it was actually in another, I don't like to name out other disciplines because I don't want to make people feel bad about other disciplines, you know, but I've seen that happen just because people watch the tutor and she's going into an advanced pose or something, and they try and go there, and before they know it, they've got an awful injury, you know. So I love the way it's very gently, the catchy monkey kind of thing. And as well, because when we haven't been doing a lot of exercise, you know, just our general unfitness, it can become really painful otherwise the next day if it's not done at the appropriate rate of progression. Yeah. So I've found that really, really good. And, that gentle and deliberate and very specific look at the exercises, so we're doing them absolutely correctly. It's really nice to
I love that I can really teach you properly, as you say, in that good alignment. And I think if you don't build those I feel like I say this a lot, but if you don't build the strong foundations from that gentle level and you miss out or you skip any of it, it's just a bit of a waste of time. You don't build that strong foundation, like having a strong tree and strong roots, and you've got to know how to do that, and you have to do that with the absolute basics. If you don't do it with the basics, then it's just going to kind of go all downhill from there, isn't it?
It's so true. And I mean, even within kinesiology, I mean, when we go back to very fundamental principles with children who don't crawl, for example, you know, often those connections in the brain aren't made as easily. And so, you know, when it comes to later in life, when they're trying to do things with their body, they have difficulty because they've missed a fundamental thing where they have to learn in a certain way about their body and how it moves. So these are really, really very fundamental things, you know.
That's interesting you're saying about the crawling. I actually get my elderly class, we do crawling up and down the mat in class. Some of them, a physiotherapy Pilates teacher friend of mine, wanted me to teach a load of her clients, and some of them have Parkinson's and different things. And so that's one of the things we do is crawling along the mat, up and down the mat, but with coordination through the opposite leg to hands and all of this stuff.
Yeah, it's so important because as well, you know, you're connecting, you're strengthening the corpus callosum, which is where the information from the left-hand side of the brain moves over to the right-hand side of the brain and for that whole brain learning and what have you. So it's fundamental, you know, this crossing over of the body for good brain function as well.
Yeah, very interesting. It's interesting. And because you said that in the past you had a bad whiplash and a road traffic accident. So how, you obviously can share a tiny bit if you want to or not, or just talk about how is your neck now and how do you find the sessions for your neck?
Yeah. Well, as I say, I'm always kind of protective of my neck just because there'll be certain things that trigger it. Like if I have a huge amount of stress, I'll find that sometimes it'll go and then it will start triggering right down my back. And I tell you what, it ain't pretty. It can be very painful to a point where I can't sleep at all at night, even with painkillers, things like that. So that's why, you know, I found Tai Chi was good because once again, I wasn't putting myself into strange positions where it could trigger. And I found that the Pilates has been very, very good because you've been very, very careful as well about, you know, just saying, keep your head straight, Kate, or whatever it is I need to do so I don't somehow trigger that physically. But it's been feeling good since I've been doing the Pilates because we've been doing a lot of just
gentle neck stretches. And
yeah, stretches and that, which, of course, because that when you're at the computer, once again, you're just kind of in that fixed state with your head just looking ahead, isn't it? It's not common that you just sit and think, I'll just turn my head around left and right, you know, or up and down.
Yeah.
So I've even started doing a little bit of that
in
front of the computer because it reminds me to. Yeah,
it is important. I do encourage you or you and everyone to practice a little bit every day, incorporate it into your lifestyle, as you say, with the neck. I found it really interesting. I had a very severe road traffic accident, and then I've had two I would call minor ones, which actually cause very severe symptoms of whiplash. So I personally really understand the whiplash, but something I found very interesting from a practitioner physiotherapy point of view I was really surprised. A lot of people after something like that, the body kind of does, I don't know, this is only me just talking from personal experience here, kind of all the muscles, everything kind of seizes up, and your natural response as a human is to not move and kind of stop moving
because you're afraid. It's a kind of a fear of more pain and making it worse and all sorts.
Yeah. So I find it really interesting that, you know, even the NHS, you know, physio guidelines of how much somebody needs to move, it's like they're recommending at least 10 times an hour or 10 lots of stretches in an hour. And most people be like, isn't it just once a day? Once a day to do your exercise? Actually, no, you know, it's like I get you doing those different neck stretches really every class, really do something just to, you know, get your neck moving and stretching. And they're all, you know, kind of recovery of whiplash type exercises, which are also obviously Pilates exercises. So I'm glad you're finding them useful.
Yeah, and, you know, our bodies are made to move, aren't they? They're made
to
move. And you soon notice, boy, they complain if they don't move enough. I mean, you know, I'm heading into this, I'm in the 60s as of next month, and you know, I'm kind of very aware of, you know, keeping up my movement and my fitness and my brain fitness and all of that. So it's all really, really important. And as I say, I wouldn't be the sort of one that would go out for a run down the road or anything. No. But I've always been a mover, and that I've always been a gardener and somebody who is always up moving around. You know, even in my clinic, I'd always be standing. You'd never find me sitting, you know.
That's right.
So, yeah, to move to that, to a lot of working with people online, that's been, I think, the only thing I haven't liked about it. And I just have to always put space in between appointments so I move, get up,
yeah,
get moving.
Yeah, it's really important. I think the beauty of like a client being on the receiving end of doing mindfulness classes is you aren't staring at the screen very much, hardly at all, are you?
No.
You have a little, we do a standing warm up, and then it's very much into a lying down mini relaxation for you, and breathe and relax. And then you might watch one demonstration, and then you're off in your own little world of being and doing the stretch, the strengthening, the core stability, or the relaxation at the end, aren't you? So
yeah,
very different to being in a business meeting and being on the screen in that way, isn't it?
Because you're really focusing in on your body, and that's what I'm doing anyway. I'm really listening to my body and checking in with it all the time, and which is great, because even that I think is so important and so healthy for us, just being mindful of our bodies in that way, you know.
Yeah, I think, and when you're taking that time for your body, you're taking that time for your mind as well, aren't you? And it has incredible other effects, I think, as well as the happiness effect.
Well, that's what's so lovely is about the holistic sort of way you're doing the class.
Yeah.
It's not just about doing the Pilates, but having some mind food as well with, you know, affirmations and angel cards, which are beautiful and always uplifting, you know. And just that little bit of chit-chat that everybody gets to have either before the class or after the class, so our social needs are getting met. I mean, I've already made a friend and we're now practicing together, you know, on Friday mornings. Which is great, because you send out the video of our class for the week. So it's lovely. And I'm going to try and convince somebody else to do another day with me, because I'd really like to be practicing eventually every morning.
That's amazing.
I'm
getting all tingly and excited about this, because you then inspired, you know, you're obviously been a friend and business friend for years, but also my kinesiologist now, which is very exciting. But the point is, though, you've now inspired, because you've then said to a friend in your class, oh, let's practice together in between classes. Now, I'm trying to think what's happening. Another class are now doing that.
Great.
They're all meeting up this week, the whole class.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. So then you've had that positive ricochet effect on them, and then now they're doing that.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
We really need this social interaction at the moment. This is
what's
going to keep us all sort of sane, I think, you know, is just being with good people and doing something positive together. And so it's you know, we're getting spiritually fed by it as well from that point of view, and the fact that we're all there wanting the best for each other, you know, we're all caring about each other. It's not like going into some, I don't know, horrible environment where everyone's having a go at each other. So, you know, it's got a lovely holistic thing going on. I think that's really, really positive, Bev, and I think well done.
Thank you. And so we do the positive bit. I like what you called it, mind food. I like that. So in class, once I've got you stretching and I've checked all of your technique and everyone's technique and everyone's breathing and relaxing into it, as you say, there is an element of chit chat, there is an element of, there has to be a bit of fun and laughter as well. It's not just constant breathe, but there is a lot of breathing going on. But I always offer you a positive affirmation card or an angel card in class. So should we pick one now?
Yeah, why not?
We do both.
I'll go for a positive affirmation card.
Okay, let's go for that.
Those are your happy kids cards, aren't they?
They are. So there's 52 different ones. The lovely thing is I pick it for you and then you talk about what it means to you each week if you want to. Whilst you're doing your stretch. So I always have you doing something, don't I?
So we're usually holding a pose, you know, holding
a stretch
in a certain position, which is really good.
Stretching and breathing at the same time. Okay, best card for you and the podcast today. This one's just been jumping out for about 10 seconds. I don't know why I didn't just pick it. Anyway, it's probably because I was talking at the same time. Okay. Take a breath in and out. And we've got, I ask for help. I ask those I trust and love for help.
I ask, what's the bottom, sorry, what's the bottom bit say again, Ben?
I ask those I trust and love for help.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, asking for, oh, gosh, I kind of love and kind of don't love the fact that all the cards that get picked for me are always ones that are a little bit challenging for me, do you know?
That's
remember that last one was about relaxing, you know, I relax easily. Well, actually I don't. I'm a bit challenged for that. And this one I'm also very challenged with. I have to say that I've always been such a stand on my own kind of person in many ways, you know, and you know, right from childhood I've had to find ways of coping, and I found that relying on myself, for me, it was felt the safest way to be as a child, you know. And I love the fact they're happy kids cards, you know, because as you know, Bev, I work a lot often with inner child, with people as well. But yeah, you know, asking for help when you need it, it sounds so easy, doesn't it?
It does.
But the fact is, it's like, for me, it feels like a slightly a torturous type thing. It's kind of, and always has done. And it's something that it's, I'm getting a little bit better at it.
Yeah.
But I have to keep working on that one. Just like.
Yeah. I think that's the great, it's what I love about the cards. It's like, it's what does it mean to you? And it might be opposite to what the card says, or it might be something that someone, like you said today with this one, it's that, you know, some of us do find, you know, at home or wherever you're listening to podcasts right now, what does it mean to you? Because, and each time you pick maybe the same message, it can may have a different meaning. I think I love an author friend of mine, Janie Lee Grace's expression of imperfectly improving. And I think we can all just keep imperfectly improving, can't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's great that it brings up those things that sometimes you forget you need to be maybe a little bit more mindful of or be working on, you know? And yeah, I think that's what's so nice about them. Once again, they're gentle. They're nobody telling you what to do or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's all just, you know, it's pure education, isn't it? Because it's evoking something from someone. It's bringing it out.
Yeah, it's allowing you to express. Either you can talk about it, or you can just think about it, or afterwards you can write about it.
Yeah.
There's so many ways of using, or what action, if it's relevant, what action steps am I going to take from that message today, or how am I going to feel more like that if I haven't had a good night's sleep, or if I'm not feeling enthusiastic and full of energy, how are we going to feel more like that, or whatever it might be. So it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, they're lovely. Yeah, and so cool that they're just as relevant for adults as they are for children. Because as I say, you know, every adult has their inner child who's also needing attention. You know, that's that part of us that really gives us that joy in life, doesn't it? That sense of freedom and all those wonderful things. I mean, we don't want to turn our back on our inner child, that's for sure.
No, it's a really interesting one. Yeah, it's a really interesting one because some people said, oh, are you doing an adult set? And I was like, well, these work just as well with adults. And of course, I encourage people to use them with children, or children to have them as their own toolbox. But I've been finding them incredible in my mindfulness Pilates teaching course, as well as my angel teaching. But and I was like, well, actually, I think teenagers would, particularly when they morph into secondary school, I think they would love a different design. So I don't know what you think, Kate and lovely listener, but I think I'm going to create the teenager to adult set next this year.
But I think the fact that even the images on them are of children, it's like they speak directly to our inner child.
Yeah, which is important.
Adult. Because as I say, the first thing I thought that came to me was when I was just a little girl, 5, you know, I'm down on the farm, I'm right away from my family, and I'm talking to the animals and that, and staying, you know, nourishing myself, looking after myself, and feeling really sad and really lonely, but feeling I can't reach out to anybody for help. You know, so it was, you know, that you get sometimes a powerful inner child image comes up because those cars have got little children on them, you know. It's really,
yeah, there they are. And I think everyone can relate to one of the little characters, or just relate anyway. Yeah. And you say to their inner child, and
they're delightful. Thank you, really,
thank you for sharing that, because I suppose my big wish with them is that every single child, every single adult has a voice. It's a tool to help us or children express themselves. Also, I just feel like saying it, also to help prevent bullying is one of my goals with it. But also for those who've been through bullying or abuse or anything like that, that it helps with the healing process and being able to get that full expression and healing to happen. Obviously, I created them from personal and professional experience. And I just think, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if everybody had that gift from when they were little? You know, because, and also helping the shy and sensitive children and people. Because these are things that can, I think if you can learn that expression through something as simple as this, you know, it's, each little tool helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Should we pick an angel card as well?
Oh, why not? Sure.
Go on then. Best card today. So in class, we pick, you can choose one or the other, but we'll go for both on the podcast. Take a breath in and out. Open to your intuition. It says, be open to your intuition. Breathe in through your nose. Breathe out through your mouth and relax and to listen to the guidance you receive.
Very good. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that one really, I've pretty much been relying on my intuition for most of my life. And it's really funny because every time I have done certain things where I've been advised to do things and I've done them, they haven't worked out. But when I've had my own intuitive drive to do something, they've always worked out.
And, yeah, very much so, I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah, and as you know, Bev, we've just bought this place in Italy. It's called Posto Divino, which means divine place. And it's like a huge old winemaker's place, but we can house up to about 12 people there. So we're looking at doing retreats over there. You know, we're still in the process of, you know, the settlement date's the end of March. And of course, people are probably going, you must be completely mad because with all the lockdowns and everything. But we know, we just absolutely trust that this is going to work out. And when we went for it, because it seemed just to be the right thing, we didn't have the money for it. We've managed to find the money for it without having to get a loan or anything. And it's just amazing how, you know, when you feel it's really, really right, and you feel aligned with something, how things do come into play. And so I said to my husband, well, even if we can't get over there or don't want to for different reasons, for a while, you know, it's been standing for 300 years. It ain't going to fall down over the year, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that's our new adventure anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. You're following your passions. You're following your dreams. And I feel like everyone comes to me, like, in, you know, my mindfulness life side of my work, often through a physical thing, you know, like the whiplash recovery or the back lobe, you know, recovering from, you know, back problems or whatever. But it's really interesting. I do feel like, you know, that my job with it is to allow people to have the best quality of life, to be able to follow as many passions as possible in every area of their life and to live happily ever after. So it sounds quite Disney. And you inspired the latest relaxation, which is in the podcast today for you. And tell us about the inspiration behind the mountain relaxation today.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, you know, a lot of people are finding this, for some people, the third, fourth, fifth lockdown or wherever you are, you know, that it's kind of just getting a bit tough for them. And my feeling is, like, you know, I like to rise above and see things a little bit dispassionately. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I'm not all emotionally wound up in things. And so for me, getting up on mountains which is, I'm half Swiss, so it's probably sort of part of my DNA to do that. But being up on mountains, it's, you get that real sense when you look out of being on top of the world, you know, that you see villages and they're just like little ant spots, you know, and you kind of go, wow, there's all those lives happening down there, complex lives. And yet from here, it's just like a little, you know, a little, little dot on the landscape. And, and for me, that just makes, I get everything into perspective, you know. I just go, the world keeps going, you know, mountains keep mountaining, you know, forests, things keep moving, and, you know, we just don't need to worry ourselves to death, you know. When we see the absolute amazingness of the world, the beauty, you know, the, when I look at snow and it's sparkling, I always say that in light on water, I always say that God makes the best jewels, you know, that I don't need diamonds on my fingers when I can just look out and see it on the water and in the snow. So, yeah, it just helps me get a real sense of perspective, that looking out over things, not being in amongst it all the time psychologically.
I think that's just a brilliant, brilliant vision, and detaching and being at a distance. And I think go breathing and going into relaxation and meditation helps you naturally do that. And I think everybody feels better from that. And I think it's just a beautiful, I think it's because we've had a mountain meditation relaxation before, and that it is a beautiful one, by the way, you can listen to it. This one, I think, it's as you say, it's that higher perspective and that looking at things from a different angle and kind of detaching and realizing that, as you say, there can be that incredible serenity and beauty and coping from a distance.
And that kind of purity of being up in the snow, you know, there's a real sense of purity there, you know. You're always up above the smog or fog, you know, you're often looking down, oh, there's the fog down there, oh, look at me, I'm up in the nice bright sunshine on the mountain, woohoo, you know, and there's this absolute sense of crystal kind of purity up there. That is really beautiful.
Yeah, the air is just so fresh. A word that came into my mind when you were talking about all of that as well was people becoming embroiled. The word that came to me, but it's not a word I use actually, embroiled, get embroiled in things. And I just think this meditation just takes you to, you can take yourself there anytime, but it's very, very powerful. So Chris Hoy, Olympic gold medalist, I saw him at a talk once, which was very inspirational, just like exactly like you're saying now, and he described it as a helicopter effect of just taking yourself away from all situations in your mind and like looking down from that helicopter. And so today in the meditation you can take yourself into that mountain
and not just for things that are going on in the world and that, but just for your own personal stuff that might be happening too, right?
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, everything, anything, everything. Yeah, life, work, anything. Just anything really. We can be embroiled in anything. It can be a tiny little drama at home. It can be absolutely anything. So yeah, so very grateful for that inspiration today. How do you enjoy the little relax at the beginning and the end? You do about 1 minute at the beginning, 5 minutes at the end. How do you find that?
Yeah, it's good because once again, you can mentally bring yourself to what you're doing, you know, rather than your head is still and the last thing you were doing. And, you know, because to be mindful in your body, it takes concentration.
Yeah.
And so to take that minute or so just to bring you to that place of concentrating on your breath, on your body, is always going to be good for you, whether you were doing an exercise class or not.
Yeah, definitely.
It's something, once again, like we were just saying before about doing the little exercises every day, just to even do, if everyone just did that, you know, every hour, just stop, put their hands on their ribcage and just start to breathe and feel the breath throughout their body, I think would be hugely beneficial for most.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of, you know, us taking that just a minute off to, you know, you can do it sitting, standing, lying down, just close your eyes, take 10 breaths in and out. And that is incredible. Rather than rushing from one thing to another,
yeah.
Even 5 is effective, and 10 is mega effective. That's why I tend to do 10 at the beginning. And you, as you say, concentrate, you mentioned concentration. So, okay, you mentioned concentration. Concentration, of course, is one of the Pilates principles.
Yeah, and getting off the treadmill, you know, just getting off the treadmill, the chasing your tail feeling.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I find as a teacher, it's just wonderful to come along and teach. I love it when I'm mostly fully on sparkly form for teaching. But if I'm not, and I come along, I know I'm there to look after everybody and help everybody, and you know, and I will always come out myself feeling better too.
Yeah,
it's inspiring. It's inspiring.
Yeah, it's great. No, it's really very. It's very pleasant and. I told you, didn't I? I did try Pilates quite a few years ago now, would have been probably 15, maybe more years ago. And I was thoroughly enjoying it. But unfortunately, because it was part of a school term thing, it only went for a very short time and then it was gone. But yeah, I love the fact that it almost seems like a combination of science and sort of intuitive ancient wisdom to me, Pilates, you know, which in some ways is, yeah, it sort of matches how I feel about what I do, kinesiology, which is, you know, it's as well, it's a lot of it's based in, you know, understanding of the mind and body connection and like all this training and study I did on the psychophysical connection, and I did a thesis on it, you know. It's huge. It's a huge area. But once you actually start to really understand how the body affects the brain and the brain affects every part, and your emotions affect all of your body and all of that, it's just such a wonderful, wonderful, interesting area.
It is. It's pretty juicy. It's pretty juicily interesting.
Yeah, pretty great. I think it's really neat that what you're doing is combining, once again, all of your wonderful skills, not just the Pilates teacher part of you, but everything into this.
Yeah, it's very I mean, I'm infusing. It's an exciting way. It makes me excited about the rest of my time to teach it. If it was only the Pilates on its own, that would not be so exciting for me, because it encompasses everything that I include in it, which I don't think anyone else does like myself. I think it's just way more.
Yeah.
And clients, you know, benefit way more, which is much more exciting to me. Much more exciting.
Absolutely. So
we did chat a little bit. Would you like to share a tiny bit of kinesiology wisdom that you feel would be wonderful right now at the end today?
Because the neat thing about kinesiology I do, and just so people know, you know, there's about, at latest count that I did a few years back, there were about 7 or 8 different types of kinesiologists out there. But just so you know, I mean, I pull in things from loads of different things I've done over the many years that I've been on this planet. So, you know, I mean, I was a drama theatre practitioner, facilitator for many years. I helped to run a performing arts course in New Zealand, which was all about developing young people's, and I'm talking adults now, but young adults, developing their life skills and personally developing them, especially those who had trauma and had sort of difficulties getting into the workforce or getting into training. So all that life skill stuff I kind of pull in when it's needed. You know, I'll quite often use a type of role play sometimes when I'm being you and you're being maybe your mother or whatever, do you know? And it's all, it all, everything. It's a bit like what you're doing, Bev. Everything that you've learned, all, it's all there to be woven in when you need it, you know, whatever you need from there.
Yeah.
So, and we, and a lot of work with, when I was very young, I was 19 when I first became an employment officer, and I was working with all sorts of businesses where I'd go in and help people who were disadvantaged to get into training and into workplaces. So, you know, even that I found I kind of understand with employers, you know, their mindset, the way that they see things when I work with people who have their own little businesses and that.
Yeah.
So that's from like, you know, that's from so long ago. But anyway.
And, yeah, and you're writing a book at the minute to help parents teach their young teens life skills. I think that's fantastic.
Well, this is my latest.
Let us know when it's out.
Yeah, it's really, yeah, using some of that wonderful training I did back then, which I was then putting into these year-long courses that we were doing using drama and theatre. But it was all about bringing the person through to the end so they knew more about who they were and where their strengths lay and how to operate as part of a group, and just all these wonderful kind of life skills about, you know, coping with grief, dealing with criticism, being assertive, knowing how to budget, just, you know, the things that actually make us successful in life, you know, and the sort of skills that we use kind of every day.
Yeah,
but yet they're not taught generally, you know. So anyway, back to what you were asking me to do, which is
should we do that just for a few minutes?
Yeah, sorry,
I was just for a few minutes.
I got carried away. I was just trying to explain that I used to also use it with groups when I was working with groups, where we get a combined goal for the whole group. So I'm just going to do a little something for the whoever's listening, okay, and see what I get from your wonderful wisdom that comes through me.
Lovely.
Ask for permission? No. So, you know, if you don't want to listen to this, then just don't, because with all this work, it's all about you give your permission, okay, to have me connect to some wisdom for you that's part of kind of your self. You all are going through a wonderful transition time on Earth at the moment. And when that happens, there is always a great unsettling feeling and quite a bit of chaos. But when this happens, know that there is always something wonderful happening that you can't see, and that you know very little about. And this is because Earth is, in fact, an amazing source of incredible energy that operates on many different frequencies. And those who become clear that they are not just a person walking around on this planet, going to work, eating, sleeping, etc., but are in fact also part of the incredible frequency which Earth emanates and which keeps receiving from other galaxies, etc., then you will know that the incredible intelligence which runs your world and your planet and your galaxy, and in fact the whole it says kit and caboodle, can be trusted, because that intelligence is way beyond anything that a single person can experience as thought or rational understanding. So know that there is an amazing shift happening on your planet, and all of this disruption is actually necessary. Don't be afraid and become clear that when all of you become energized for change, your world will improve remarkably in so many ways. That's it. Are you there, Bev?
So hopefully you enjoyed that with your eyes closed and just listening. Thank you very much, Kate, for that. And so there's some beautiful wise words there today. I'm just off with the fairies now. So if you had your eyes closed and listening to that, then just take a glass of water. Hmm. But when you do your kinesiology, you're talking to that person's individual body wisdom, aren't you? And helping with whatever issues and problems they've got. And that just felt like a perfect words for each of you listening right now as well. And we'll take that next into the mountain relaxation for you. But have you got any parting mindfulness Pilates takeaway tips or anything? One takeaway tip today, Kate, for everybody listening.
Join Bev's Pilates classes. You won't regret it.
Oh,
it'll be a great thing for anybody to be doing in these times of kind of these odd, unusual times, I think. Mm. And and be sure that there are places you can reach out to. You know, I got the card, didn't I? You know, what was it? Reach out for help or something.
I ask for help.
Yes. Maybe Bev, we were drawing that one on behalf of everybody as well.
Oh no, they absolutely are for everyone listening.
What
does that mean to you? And as you say,
ask for help, you know, because people want to help each other. That's what humans do, you know. And just on that note, if anybody wants to do a little session with me.
What's your website where they can find you, please? Yeah.
Okay, well, they can go to bit.ly/lightreboot, LIGHTREBOOT. And there you can do a half-hour session with me for any donation that you would like. So if you're really broke, you can put in a fiver and have a half hour with me.
Yeah, or a lot more.
Or
a lot more, please.
Whatever you like.
Abundant, don't go for a fiver, please.
I guess money hold you back.
No, that's lovely, but, you know, come on, everyone. Abundance, if you're abundant, you know. Yeah, just, and you're inspired to. But what's your actual website, though?
Oh, it's www.katiekalin.com. It's KATIEKALIN.com.
Yeah,
but they won't find that there. They won't find that.
Yeah, there. But I'll put the link for you anyway, and wherever it's in, we'll put the other link.
That's a special thing I'm doing.
Yeah, we'll put the special link for you as well, if you'd like to. But Kate, thank you so much. We will all keep asking help. Thank you so much for being on podcast.
It's been a delightful, and thank you for inviting me. I feel very special, very, very, very privileged to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's thanks to you. So thanks, Kate. Lots of love.
Lots of love. Bye.
So let's head now into this week's relaxation for you. Every single podcast, there's a 5-minute relaxation for you. Today, you're going to have a beautiful, beautiful chance to escape to the mountains. So just get yourself ready for relaxation and meditation now. Just stop multitasking, take this time for you. You can do this cozy on a mat and sitting or lying down or cozy in bed or cozy on the settee or sofa. You choose. If you want to tuck yourself in a lovely blanket, you can. And just really just close your eyes, start to breathe and relax, and enjoy today's meditation. Welcome to your mountain relaxation. Just get yourself into a beautiful, cozy spot, sitting or lying down to relax. Close your eyes. You can tuck yourself up in a cozy blanket if you want to. And with your eyes closed right here and right now, breathe and relax. You're going to breathe naturally in through your nose and out through your nose, with the natural rhythm of your own breath. This breathing is so, so relaxing. And just naturally breathe and relax. On each out-breath, you can relax more and more. And you've arrived at these beautiful, beautiful mountains, and you're at the top of the mountains, looking down. The air is so pure as you breathe and relax. The snow is so sparkly and white, like jewels. As the light streams on the snow, it really does look like jewels of sparkles and magic as you breathe and relax. And just breathe and relax there. Like you're on top of the world. You are on top of the world, and it's your own private mountainscape. And you can escape here anytime. So you want to feel completely on top of the world. It allows you to detach and see things from a different perspective, to see things from a different angle. And this makes you feel so, so strong, peaceful, calm, and powerful. Breathe and relax. You recharge your batteries here. And there's this cozy, cozy place, especially for you, where you feel safe and cozy with a log fire. And there's these lovely four fur, like blankets and rugs, and you feel so cozy and warm as you enjoy the mountain scenery. You just have a little rest and recharge here in this beautiful place for this moment and this relaxation, that you really can feel on top of the world and on top of things in your life and work as you breathe and relax. Just scanning through your arms and hands and fingers now. And as you scan through, notice if there's any area of tension. If there is, take a breath in and blow it away into the mountain air to just dissipate into love and light. Now on the next breath in, fill that whole area with love, healing, and relaxation. And now all the way through your spine, all the way from your head and your neck, all the way through your back, upper back to middle back to lower back, scan through. If there's any area of tension, just breathe into that area. Let any tension go, and negativity and stress. Now as you breathe in again, fill that area, or the whole area, with love and healing and relaxation and lovely warmth. And finally, scanning through your legs, all the way down to your feet and your toes. If there's any area of tension, take a breath in. Blow it away into love and light, into the mountain air, that beautiful mountain. You're on top of the world. And as you breathe in this last breath in this bit, breathe in love and healing and relaxation. Breathe and relax. You are on top of the world. You are wonderful. You are loved always. And just enjoy this time whenever you like. Sending lots and lots of love. Really hope you enjoyed that beautiful relaxation today to the mountains. You are on top of the world. Take a breath in. As you exhale, wiggle your fingers and your toes. Smile within and smile. And slowly coming out of relaxation when you're ready. And sending you lots and lots of love. How do you feel after the relaxation? Just take your time coming round, just slowly come up to sitting, perhaps get yourself a glass of water, cheers. And then perhaps just do a few little mindfulness Pilates shoulder circles, perhaps five backwards would be really good. Just breathe in and breathe out. And then if you're standing, shake out your arms, shake out your legs, and just get some fresh air. Perhaps get yourself a nice cup of tea. Really hope you enjoyed this week's podcast and roll on lots more. I hope you got some inspiration, wisdom from Kate, myself, and the Mindfulness Pilates and today's relaxation. Thank you so much for coming again and sending you all lots and lots of love. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access my free healing meditation and Pilates to ease back pain in 3 minutes on my website. You can also book your reduced back pain to feel good one-to-one mindfulness Pilates program on Zoom or mindfulness Pilates membership by going to mindfulnesspilates.com.